Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of Movies That Changed My Life here at the Cinema Recall Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, The Vern, and I'm going to be talking about a movie that had a major impact on me. It affected me big time. It's a movie that I do respect, but it's not one that I can recommend others to watch. And this is the only time on the series where I'm going to be doing that. The movie that I'm going to be talking about is Gaspar Noé's Irreversible. And this is a movie that, if you've seen it, you know damn well why I can't recommend this movie to most listeners out there. And if you haven't seen it, I'm going to be spoiling the movie, and I apologize immensely for doing so. But a little precursor before I get into the movie itself. So I saw this back in 2002, back when Netflix was still releasing DVDs through the mail. That's the only way you can get movies, is DVDs through the mail. And I rented Requiem for a Dream not too long ago, and I was shocked, and I was amazed at Requiem for a Dream. That movie disturbed me, and it just had me fascinated with filmmaking. I could do a whole other episode. In fact, on our Patreon page, I think there's an episode of Requiem for a Dream on there. So I was just blown away by that movie, all the camera shots. And so when I returned Requiem for a Dream, Netflix gives you recommendations of other movies to check out. And one of the recommendations was Irreversible. And I scrolled through the comments, and one of the comments just struck my eye right away. And this commenter said, "Irreversible makes Requiem for a Dream look like Sesame Street." And just based on that one comment, I was like, all right, well, I gotta rent this for sure. I gotta know exactly what this is, because I thought Requiem for a Dream was the most shocking thing I've ever seen before in my life. And if this movie tops it, yeah, I gotta check it out. So I knew nothing about the actual plot line of it or anything like that at all. So I rented the movie. It came to my home. This is back when I was living at a house with other roommates and they were all away. And I popped the disc in and I pressed play. And right away, this movie is just hits you on senses. It's got like this really fast, almost like strobe light effect for the even the opening credits. Like the main studio title logos are done that way. And then the credits run backwards. And it's all kind of disjointed, the way the credits roll. And then you hear this low tone, this very low tone. And I read later on that this is a tone that it's used to cause nauseam. And if you have any type of anxiety, I don't even have anxiety, and I felt anxiety when watching just the opening credits. And this was just the opening credits, so I knew right away that I'm in for something that I don't think my brain can handle at all. And the movie itself starts with these two guys going into this club, and they're searching for this guy called the Worm. And I don't know exactly why they're searching for this guy, but apparently while they're searching for this guy, this camera in this club just keeps rotating in a circle. So you're feeling very, very, your eyes are just very disturbed, and you're feeling nauseous as hell. And then the musical score, which is done by one half of Daft Punk, Thomas Bandler. I'm going to mess up the name and I apologize about that. He's got this really freaking dark, low soundscape going on while these two guys are searching for this other person. And these two guys are, well, one of them is more calmer than the other one. And when they find the guy, and I don't know exactly what this guy did, but these two guys are angry. The calmer one gets so mad that he basically smashes this guy's face in with a fire extinguisher. And then the movie goes more and more backwards, and I find out that these two guys were searching for a man that killed one of their girlfriends. So apparently, the movie stars Monica Bellucci, Vincent Cassel, and Albert DuPont. And Vincent Cassel and Albert DuPont, they're looking for this guy called the Worm because he apparently attacked Vincent Cassel's character's girlfriend. And Albert Dupont's character is like the voice of reason. You know, he doesn't think that he thinks that they should let the cops get involved. But Vincent Cassell's character is like just all angry, is like all gung ho, want to find it. And then so the movie just keeps going backwards and backwards of these two guys searching for this other person. And Vincent Cassell's character is just so pent up with the rage that he does get violent with other people. Then you actually do find out what happens to his girlfriend. And apparently this was the moment in the movie that made me stop the movie and not maybe want to finish it right away. But apparently Vincent Cassell's girlfriend is played by Monica Bellucci, and she goes to this underpass and is brutally raped by this man. This man looking for called the Worm. And it is all done in like 9 minutes, but it felt like 20 minutes. And it's all done with like one shot, and it's just really, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I can totally understand why people would have major issues with this movie because of this one scene, but it's never done in an exploitive manner. A lot of times when filmmakers want to show rape in a movie, it's kind of done in an exploitative manner where they have to make the woman look sexy. And yes, Monica Bellucci is a sexy woman, but there's nothing sexy about the scene at all. Sorry. I mean, I think the moment that really just affected me the most is there's a moment where there's a guy just in the background, and he just shows up quickly while this horrible thing's happening, and he doesn't do anything about it. And we are like that guy. We feel stuck because the camera doesn't move at all. And then after the attack, we get to see more of the later side of Monica Bellucci's relationship with Vincent Cassell's character. And Vincent Cassell's character is, you know, he's arrogant, you know, he's rude, he likes to flirt with other girls. Her ex-boyfriend, played by Albert Dupont, is this really kind of sweet guy, and, you know, they're also friends, and he still feels kind of heartbroken that Monica Bellucci's character broke up with them for Vincent Cassell's. And Monica Bellucci and Vincent Cassell and Albert's character, they have this great little conversation in a train, and Monica's character talks about the reason why she broke up with Albert's character is because he was too soft, and, you know, he just didn't let himself go and get really into passion when they were having sex. You know, he always looked after her own needs. And sometimes she says, I get irritated because when I have sex with someone, I want them to, you know, rip my clothes off and just go, you know, primal on me. And you were just too soft. You never did shit like that. So, and then the movie just kind of tracks more backwards. You realize that Monica's character and Vincent's character got into a fight and she stormed off, and that's why she got attacked. And then the movie progresses more and more backwards. And then at the end, you find out that actually Vincent's characters, Monica's characters, they're very sweet and loving. You know, they love each other very much. And then you find out that Monica's character is pregnant, which really adds a little more weight to it. And then there's a scene at the very end where Monica's character is at this park and there's a bunch of kids around there. It's kind of bright and sunny. Beginning of the movie or the end is really kind of like dark and stingy, but the end slash beginning is very bright. And she's on this park and this camera is moving in a circular pattern, just like it was in the beginning slash end. But it's somewhat optimistic because, you know, she's pregnant and she's got this boy she loves. But you find out exactly what's happening at the end of the movie. It just makes it that much more tragic. And then the camera spins more and more faster and faster and faster and faster and faster as this classical music plays. And then to like almost like a dizzying effect. And then the last tagline of the movie is "Time destroys everything." And I was like, holy shit. Wow, that was quite the experience, and it was a rough one to get through. And I, like I said before, when that rape scene happened, I had to stop that movie. I had to stop it, and I was thinking, okay, that's it. I can't handle this movie anymore. I'm done with it. But I just kind of like, I grabbed myself a shot, had a smoke, and I put the disc back in. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let's finish this up here. And I'm really kind of glad I did, because this is a movie that, while it was disturbing and indeed shocking to watch, I have to say I was very kind of glad that I did finish it, because despite all these horrible things that happen, there are some really kind of great, beautiful camera work in this one. You got Benoit Dolby, who's basically shot all of Gaspar Noé's movies, including like Climax and Love and Enter the Void, and you got the music by Thomas Bandler in there. Great performances from Monica Bellucci and Vincent Cassel. Especially Monica Bellucci. I give her just full-on credit and support for doing a movie like this. And not making it feel too exploitive. Yeah. If you're listening to this right now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, I'm never going to watch this at all. This sounds horrible. Why would you even recommend anything like this at all? I know. It's not one that's difficult for me to even talk about. And yet, just having emotions like this in a movie, I've never once felt any type of like shock in a movie before. Like, nothing's ever really like shocked and offended me before, and I gotta appreciate filmmakers that push that limit. So after this movie, I had to check out other movies from this filmmaker, and at the time the only movie he made was I Stand Alone, which was okay. It wasn't his best, but it was okay. Then he made Enter the Void, which is this whole first-person fucking video game drug trip of a movie, which I absolutely enjoy really much. Love, didn't care much for Love. Yes, they actually use full-on unstimulated sex in the movie, but it's nothing that great, seriously. Climax, on the other hand, I love Climax. Climax is great. I talked about that movie on a previous episode. Yeah, so I guess the movie is a change in my life, mainly because I just saw different types of filmmaking that I have never seen before, and it completely shocked my mind. It's a movie I only saw one other time, the first time I watched it, and then I can't watch it again, because every time I do watch that movie, I cannot fall asleep. That movie just really makes me so terrified and afraid to fall asleep after I watch it. And the only movie that makes me kind of terrified to fall asleep after I watch it is Jaws. Yes, that's right. I love Jaws. Jaws is a great movie, but when I get done watching it, I cannot fall asleep for several hours. And same thing goes for Irreversible. If someone had me watch it again, I could, but I cannot fall asleep after watching the movie. Just because it is just a really intense ride, and not for the right reasons. Maybe I'm sort of a sadist for watching this movie. But yeah, so anyways, that is Irreversible, Gaspar Noé's movie. Yeah, so I don't know. If you've seen the movie, let me know your thoughts in the comments here. This episode went kind of longer than I thought. So as for the podcast itself, I apologize immensely for not having on any guests. We actually are prepping to do a Night of the Living Dead audio play, and I'm very, very excited that we're going to be performing this the weekends of May and June, and then I need to take time to actually edit the audio to make it into an audio drama. Right now, I'm working on putting the script together. So, yeah, I know for a fact next week we're probably going to take a break from the podcast, but please check out our past episodes. We're available on Spotify. We're available on Stitcher. We're available on Anchor. Anchor is the main site where I host these podcasts. Anchor is great, and I highly recommend you check out their site so you can host your own podcasts on there. We do have a Patreon page, and I haven't really done much work on there, so I guess if you want to visit it, you can. I appreciate the support. We're patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. We do have a YouTube page. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Cinema Recall Podcast. Twitter, we are at @Cinema_Recall. We have a website, which is cinemarecall.net. Yes, cinemarecall.net. I'm your host, The Vern, and I hope you all have a great day out there, and be safe, and I love you all very much. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Goodbye.